Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sports Inside and Out. Legends of Sports, the voice of Legends of Sports. When legends speak, people listen. Now, here's your host, the coach, Chuck Hatcher.
Welcome to Sports Inside and Out. And I was just looking at a lovely sight. I was just looking at a nice, lovely sight here. And we're in off the Chesapeake Bay, Sutler's Landing, in Hampton, Virginia. I was got mesmerized there for a second. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. And this is a podcast edition, of course, is an update. And, of course, we got our Hall of Famer, Wally Jones, coming up here, and we're going to get started.
Good morning.
Hey, Wally, what's going on? Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, everything is fabulous.
Happy holidays and congratulations. Yeah. You're about ready to hit the road. The doctor gave you your get on out of Florida papers. And
that's right, brother.
Yeah.
Been down. You can't keep a good man down. And
no,
some of the other
man.
Things we have to help these children out here and also support our armed forces. So I'm ready to go and get it planned again, Coach Hatcher.
There we go. There we go, Wally. Okay. Well, Wally, so much is going on. Of course, the news update, a lot of great things as far as updating sports. And now you hear from the perspective of our listeners. And thank you so much for letting Sports Inside Out be your favorite Legends broadcast on Sports Radio. And we're so happy about that. And please stay tuned. It's countdown time for our simulcast coming this fall. We want to make sure that you were at Escorts Sports Inside and Out, Legends Facebook, like that page, and to keep up with all the things that's going on, along with our great broadcast, not only with just with the great Wally Wonder segment, but also on our football segment with the former Philadelphia Eagle, Leroy Keyes and C.B. Baker, and, of course, we got the Bobby Hunter Harlem Globetrotter updates, and we expect to hear Bobby at any time coming up. And, of course, coming up, we're going to have the new additions to sports of soccer with David Baskin, one of the great soccer legends. So we're going to have a full circle. We're going to be a whole of getting a hold of, understand, Bob Beamon because it's Olympic time. So it's a whole lot of things that we're going to be. And then, of course, heavyweight champ Bone Crusher Smith is going to be talking about soon this fall about the boxing status and him and Don Elbaum about the resurgence of the heavyweight division in boxing. So it's going to be very interesting with all these great athletes and legends, I should say. And then, of course, Wally's going to be coming up in his segment with special interviews with people in sports but not sports to talk about the impact of legends in the communities and kids. And these are stellar people. I mean, you know, Hall of Famers, but also great people in their own right, such as Dr. Richard Labcheck. And he's got guys who are intimately involved with legends in cities that you may not be aware of nationally, but there are legends in their own cities, such as guys like Ken Hamilton, one of the greatest high school coaches in the country. Question, hands down, particularly in Philadelphia. He is the man when it comes to high school basketball. So coaching and clinician activity. So, Wally, so much going on. But right now, before we get too far into it, Wally, what's with sports today? Let's give a good chugger.
I got a big thing for you. Deflategate. Deflategate. And let's not forget that. Team owners plan to talk about possibly changing Commissioner Roger Goodell's role in disciplining players because of the incident with the courts. Of course, we all are aware that he will not be suspended for four games. Because I'm sure the NFL, Roger Goodell, will appeal it, but the Washington Post reported a day after the federal judge erased quarterback's four-game suspension for the Deflategate controversy. ESPN report the Patriots won't try to regain the 2016 first and fourth-round draft picks and the $1 million they lost as punishment for the role in Deflategate. So they did. Yeah, I mean, it cost them those rounds, the first and fourth rounds, and that money. But at least Tom Brady, the Golden Boy, and America's team, they got a chance to play. And I think the NFL spectators want to see him, and that's so important. in the NFL to have the top quarterbacks to see him coach. So that's something that I wasn't surprised from the money that they spent for the investigation. They had no evidence to really indicate that he was part of that deflate gate. So, so they had to
Smoking gun does not prove guilt.
Yes.
So,
yeah, that's right. And the other thing about football. Go ahead, Coach.
I was just saying, you know, anybody who has any sense of any you know, anybody, you know, you couldn't prove anything. So if you can't actually prove it now, whether or not he knew about it, now common sense would tell you the man's not an idiot. You know.
Yeah.
He may have
knew
something, but he was not directly involved in it. But, you know, innuendos and things of that nature, you know, people can take it on and say, hey, I think I'm going to help my boy Tom out and take a little air out of here. Yes, I don't care. But you cannot prove guilt within a smoking gun. You can prove some knowledge of it, but, you know, it's that's a whole different ballgame. But what else is going on, Wally? I know tennis is your favorite game, and Serena's really kicking.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Serena may get that Serena slam, but I'm going to back up just a little because you know how the world loved Tim Tebow.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah, the Eagles traded Matt Barkley to the Cardinals, changed the roster spot for Tim Tebow if he won the preseason competition for the number three quarterback. Job behind, of course, Sam Bradford and the backup Sanchez. But you don't realize that Tebow last played the regular season game with the Jets in 2012. Mm. And the Cardinals sent a conditional seventh-round draft pick to the Eagles. So the people of Philadelphia love him. I'm going to tell you, Coach, he's a man that just fans love the guy. I mean, his demeanor, of course, his the way he carries himself. People want him to be there, so he may be part of that offense that is really a up-tempo offense. And they're saying he's not a gimmick. The last game I saw, he was throwing the ball much better, and he played very well.
He threw two touchdown passes,
right.
In the preseason, and ran and seemed to have good command of the team and the field. So that being said. People got to realize one thing, Wally. This guy has never been a loser.
That's right. That's right.
From college, even his stint in Denver, they called him, you know, it was outrageous how guys like Merle Hodge and them dogged this man because he was still a winning guy. They said he couldn't do this, but he got the Denver Broncos to the playoffs.
That's
he
right.
couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. I mean, he was 7-1 during that stretch he was in and lost that one the playoff game. Well, yes, he was unorthodox, but you know, it's a place for that. I got to give my hats off to Chip Kelly. He saw something and seeing something nobody is paying attention to because Chip Kelly loves a running quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, a big man, too.
And he is big, Wally. This guy's 6'3", 240.
Yeah, he's about 240. Exactly what I was going to say, Coach.
And plenty of muscle, you know. Yeah. And then talking about situational, when I saw this cat, I was applauding for him because, you know, I'm not being facetious in any way. When I hear sports broadcasters throw a guy under the bus, when this guy does have talent, and has never been a loser, never had anything. Oh, he ain't quarterback. He ain't worth it. I'm listening to Merle Hodge dog this man for 2 years. Ain't nobody going to pick him up in the NFL. All of a sudden, Chip Kelly, let me tell you something. Now, if this guy does what he's capable of doing, and Chip Kelly is going to use him just as he thinks he should be used in that offense in Philly, somebody's going to look like he's got a big size, and I don't think Merle Hodge got a big foot. But he's got a foot in his mouth. He got to take out of there.
Yeah, you got
to
take it out.
I'd like to hear what he's got to say.
But anyway, I'm happy for him.
Yes, I'm very happy. I'm happy for Philadelphia. They like that hardcore working guy. They need that. They like that type of situation.
He's going to bring a lot of fans in the stadium down there in Philadelphia.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Here's the biggest news you're talking about, of course, the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
I'm going to first talk about Venus because at 35 and – she's had this ailment, and I saw her the first round and second round, and she overcame and she won a match one that went three sets, and her ailments caused her to have not energy. I don't know the actual terminology for what she has in reference to her illness, but you're talking about this young lady has won, and I'm really happy for her. She actually beat the girl that beat Venus in Canada, and I was very happy about that because this young lady, Benzik, one of the things that I know about her when she beat Venus, when she beat Serena, that was only one loss this summer because Serena's been just kicking everybody, and I'm so happy for Venus that she's still in it because they may have an opportunity to play against each other. She's in that bracket, Coach. And last night, you can't count out Serena Williams. No matter how big the deficit, no matter how off-target her strokes, no matter how much the pressure might be mounting as she bids for the calendar year Grand Slam. Coach, eight times this season at major tournaments, Williams has dropped the opening set.
Yeah.
And eight times she came back and won.
Right.
So that's
right.
A part of a champion. That's a part
it
of a
is.
Champion.
And you know what? It's also unprecedented to have two sisters. They told me, I saw in the paper, this is the fourth major tennis tournament that they've actually competed against each other in finals.
That's right. That's right.
Wilmington.
Right.
And then I think the U.S. I mean, this is what an achievement, and it's really something that's inspiring. And I like to fall back to a great coach and personality in women's sports, Suzanne Summons. She says now at this age, little girls got big girls to look up to now. And that is such a relevant statement right now. I think Bobby Hunter just came up. Hold on a second.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Zorro, how you feeling? I got the clearance from the doctor to get back to work, Bobby. So I'm back on it. So look for me. You know, there are some things that you may need me to do to help you with, of course, your efforts with the Seagull, but I'm back in action because we need to keep teaming up and doing our best to support our most important attributes, our youth. So I'll be involved. So call me anytime, Bobby.
Yeah.
But Bobby,
congratulations, Bobby.
The
communications we got from the Ruckle, what you did there in New York is really, really heartwarming. I mean, the email and Facebook likes that I'm getting because of your efforts there. Sam Stiff called last night and said he was a wonder to behold. That was Sam's example of what you did. And then a guy named Zach Hauser has been blasting the Facebook and LinkedIn accounts. God bless him, and I think I vaguely remember that name before, but he was talking about his oral history of the Rucker was evidently very, very knowledgeable, and he was talking about it. Started off with your Harlem Globetrotter interview that y'all did, Wally and Bobby, and it just parlayed up. He responded back, "What a great interview. Let me tell you, tell Bobby Hunter he did such a great job in New York," and it's been resonating, man. I'm sorry me and Wally couldn't be there with you, man, but I'm going to tell you what, Bobby, hats off. You did the true Bobby Hunter wizardry in New York to make that happen. I'm very proud of you, my man.
I have done nothing yet. Wait till you hear about next year, the 90th anniversary of the Harlem Globetrotters, where they gave me 125th Street.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that sounds historic within itself.
Outdoor candlelight dinner.
In Harlem.
With Billy B's band playing with a choir behind him.
Oh,
oh my goodness. Do it, brother. Do it.
Oh, go on, Bobby. I mean,
it's gonna be like James Brown. They think James Brown was at the Apollo.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Hey, I saw an interesting article on Kobe, guys. A couple of guys were trying to throw Kobe, but the guy said, hey, you got to leave him alone. His record and his history proves itself. Jerry Colangelo was talking with Kobe. He said, well, you're going to play on this year's singles. So Kobe said, no, I'm going to earn me a spot. I don't want you to give it to me because of my resume. I'm going to earn me a spot. So then the thing came out, Bobby and Wally said, well, is Kobe good enough to make the Olympic team? And we should have heard the responses from the former and upcoming Olympics like LeBron and them. He said, are you stupid? This is the Black Mamba. He can still kill him. So, but he did putting some humility into himself. I don't know how you do that with Kobe, but he said, well, you know, I don't want you to do it to me. Give it to me. I'm gonna earn me a spot this year, but I'm gonna go.
He's one injury away from being a bench player.
Retired, not even best player. We just hope no injuries happen. But
I think Charles Barkley came up with an interesting analogy. If y'all heard Charles, now this is one time Charles was crazy, but he was true. He said, "Listen, leave Kobe alone. Let him go out in his final NBA season as he should. I don't want him to make the mistake I did and Michael made. You know, I want him to go out and play about 25 minutes a game, average about 20 points a game, and get the thing that Kareem did, get a rocking chair at every Coliseum, and take it easy and enjoy what he's done for basketball for the past 20-some years." Now, that was Charles Barkley. Now, that was something that Charles Barkley said that made some sense.
That's very important. Go out.
Take it easy, man. Go out.
Yeah. I don't like what Kobe's done in the last couple of years of not putting a team together.
When you say what Kobe did.
Kobe did or the Lakers?
You talking about Jim Buss. He didn't put a team together for him.
And Buss didn't do nothing for him. Yeah,
Buss didn't do nothing. Buss is the man. Oh, it's horrible.
That boy Michael Buss needs to stop and let that his sister, who married Phil Jackson, got more sense about basketball than he got. I don't know. I hope they handle the real estate better than the Lakers.
Yeah. You know, you have to look at Michael Jordan, what he was able to do in putting a team together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and remember again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it comes very powerful, that ability. And every time there was a player that left, he replaced him with another. And he also managed those players. He was the best manager of players and the best manager of referees.
I can't doubt that. I won't. I'll tell you, I think you're right, Robert. I mean, he knew how to handle it. But again, it's so much with the executives up there, who you draft, who you get in to help you. And that's important in any sport. You got to surround yourself with some players, though. Wilt said it a long time ago. He said, I'm not beating Russell, I'm beating the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics kept a team, and you have to have a team, and it's those executives, those general managers, those scouts, to get him some talent around him, because this year he still doesn't have talent around him to make the playoffs, to me.
He's not a playoff team. No, you know, this season should be nothing about him leaving gracefully as Kobe Bryant. Let the NBA show their appreciation of what he's bought them for these 20-plus years. That's about all. That's the way I see it. And I think when Barkley and was talking about it, and Kenny Smith were talking about it, I think that's it. He said we ought to be able to appreciate what he's done for this league for that long and go out and have some fun.
Yeah, well, he got that money.
He got $30 million. That's what Barkley Curry up and said that. He got $30 million this year. He should have some fun.
It's fun. But I'm going to get back to something that's very important. Again, we didn't up on it. I want to make sure you guys realize you're talking about Serena again. I'm going to go back to that because she may set a precedent on, well, now they call her the greatest tennis player ever, but she's trying to break Steffi Graf's record. She'd be the only player since Steffi Graf in 88 to win all four Grand Slams in the same season.
Same season.
She also has a chance to become the first woman since Chris Evert from 75 to 78 to win four United States Opens in a row. See, this is historical. Mm-hmm. We talk about sports news. But the next up for Williams is a fourth-round match Sunday against 19-seeded Madison Keys. So it's going to be a tough road, fellas, but this young lady has shown some mental stability and concentration where she's been down. And last night she played a player that did everything that she could to stop her. And I'm going to tell you, she lost the first set. And this girl was drop shooting. And her interesting young lady, Bethany Maddox, gave her a game. It was 3-6. She pulled it out 7-5. But guess what? She turned it up on the third set. She beat her 6-0. She's one of the greatest closers of all time.
She's a closer.
Look at the physical statue also, because 15 players went down in that.
Robert, you're right. You know what? When exhaustion, I saw Jack Sock retire. 15 players retired because of that intense heat, the humidity, cramping. They carried Jack Sock off, an American tennis player, and there were three women who retired. So even the men, I think it's too long. I think they should be three sets. Those five setters in New York at this time of the year is a health hazard. I mean, they carry them off the court, coach. They can't walk. I mean, they're cramping and can't move. And that's, I think health-wise, you know, that sunstroke could happen up there. I'm concerned about that.
But you're going past your most important point too quickly, which is the health hazard, but also in the period of time in which they get to rest. It's and the time of the conditioning heat-wise and weather-wise there, the men need a period of time in which they can rest.
Yeah, recuperate. I got you. I agree with you, Bob. I agree with you.
Well, you know, the health should be foremost in the front of all of it, not just the driving force of that money. So, you know, it is, you know, I saw a very interesting piece last night that is definitely tennis related. Althea Gibson, they did a great documentary on her.
That was great.
That was fantastic. She did. It just happened to be parallel to what Serena Williams and the Williams sisters are doing. I don't think that was by accident that documentary came up. That woman, oh my gracious, man!
Yeah, she was phenomenal during those times.
Yeah, and to go up what she was, I mean, Jackie Robinson didn't go through the stuff she did, but she didn't. She was a no holds barred. She didn't take no crap. Now Jackie was very humility, and he was told that, you know, you got to soak it up a little bit here. Don't say that. Hey, Miss Gibson, she ain't hold her tongue.
Twice. You talking
she
about
not all the time, that woman said, I know I'm good, and y'all white folks scared of me. Don't be scared of me. Learn how to play. She said that right on TV.
She went through this in tennis and golf.
Yeah, she was. She was an excellent golf player as well.
Right, so she went through this twice.
Yeah.
A female.
I love that. I love that. Women, our girls, you need to be, boy, I tell you, I want to turn this thing into a sociology session, but it does need to be said about our young women. Boy, you need to look at what y'all predecessors, the women who have made the mark for y'all, has done. Y'all ain't taking advantage of diddly squat. Come on, girls. I mean, just not basketball. Turn around and look at what's around you through golf and through tennis. These are private one-on-one sports that you got to impose your will on somebody.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, fellas, on that note, I want you guys to remember this name. Johnny Ash. They had a special on Arthur Ashe. Johnny Ash called his commander during the time that Arthur Ashe was getting ready to play in the Professional Tennis League. He was also a soldier at West Point. And during those times, if he was deployed, he would have been deployed to Vietnam. So his brother sacrificed by telling his commander that he would do another tour of duty. I'm going to tell you, this special that came on last night by Arthur Ashe, the first African-American to win the Open, Wilmington. It was very interesting because what his brother sacrificed, Arthur never knew this, Coach Bobby Hunter. His brother told his commander, I would do another tour so Arthur won't have to be deployed to Vietnam. Right. It was a special. They honored him a couple of years ago in Richmond about how he sat. Now, Arthur did find out later on that his brother did sacrifice because of the tour and gave him the opportunity to excel in tennis. But, of course, we know what Arthur Ashe did for social things and South Africa.
Yeah.
He was the first African-American to go to South Africa and play. He was so much on political things in our society, and he spoke out against them. And it was a wonderful tribute to his brother, Johnny Ashe. It was a wonderful story on Arthur Ashe. And you talk about historical. So we're talking about African-Americans in tennis.
Fantastic. You know, we need to follow up on those type of things, you know, because, you know, we have some very impactful coming up for starting as a template from this Black History Month on, you know, and working with Stellar Entertainment Award Network, a new network that's broadcasted on Comcast. You know, I've been talking with Dan Davis last week. He said that he's telling the you know, Don and the guys in Stellar, said, listen, Sports Inside and Out can bring a tremendous asset to Black History Month on a continuum with these great specials. Just think of what he's doing with the Dream Maker. But he said, you got the things that happened with the Sixers. You know, I told him, I said, it's also an outside possibility. We may have some affiliation with something that's going on with the Harlem Globetrotter Legends and the continual type of content we're able to buy. But, you know, one thing he did say that made a heck of a lot of sense, man. He said, we're bringing history of sports back where it needs to be. This is where we can be on TV. That is very impactful to be said, Wally Jones and Bobby.
Yeah.
Bien gracias. Solo uno managerial. Meaning there's only one Latino manager in baseball. With all the Latinos playing in baseball, there's only one manager.
Yeah,
and it took him 18 years to get there.
Is that the man that was the one the World Series with the White Sox?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He went to Miami. Whatever happened? He won a World Series in Miami. He was one of the greatest managers in the White Sox season history. Then he went to Miami because it was a heck of a lot of money, and he was going home. But is he still a general manager? I haven't heard anything from him.
No. But there's one Latino manager in baseball at this time.
At this particular time, that's outrageous. With almost well over 40% of the guys. Hey, listen, we done cut short already. We got exactly 1 minute left, guys. We got a great show coming in. We're gonna be taping a Labor Day show with Leroy Keyes and CB Baker. Is gonna be very, very impactful. They got a great show coming up. I want you guys to stay tuned. We're dealing with the NCAA. A lot of great things are happening, in, of course. But we're going to let you know what's going on with our shows that's going to be coming in next week. It should be a full week next week for our Sports Inside and Out Legends of Sports, our national, international SoundCloud, as well as our broadcast. Stay tuned to Sports Inside and Out Legends of Sports Facebook. Like that page so you can hear and be a part of this. And countdown time, you'll hear the countdown of our upcoming podcast. But I'm looking at a lovely site. And I'm hearing you take it easy. Labor Day broadcast, guys. So listen, I got to get out of here.
What time would that be?
It'll be some. I think one something on Monday. We're gonna finish up with Leroy and Emma at 12. So we got to, try to get a good round table that we can have a real rap talk there on the second one, Bobby, everybody on at the same time. Okay, guys, out of here.
Take care,
fellas. Okay.
Adios.
Okay, Bob.